Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan. The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was tempted by Satan. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our readings this morning are brief, but no less abundant for that. Together they form a meditation on baptism. Our short gospel lesson, to which I have added three verses, sets before us the entire Christian faith. Believe, repent, be baptized. Certainly, the great adventure of our journey to heaven will normally take a lifetime and inevitably include much more. Yet, these three are the basis for all the rest, and no one might claim to be Christian without them. We understand the terms believe and be baptized well enough, though I don't want to take too much for granted. But let us pause for a moment to consider the word repent, whose English meaning is to regret. The word in Mark's gospel actually is metanoete, which is a command meaning get a whole new look on life, make a U-turn. Its emphasis, you see, is not merely negative, though anyone is bound to feel regret over regrettable things she or he has done. The meaning has more to do with having a change of heart. And we remember the psalmist's cry, create in me a pure heart, O God. Metanoete means to go in a whole new direction, to have a new lease on life. St. Augustine, sometimes called the father of psychology, understood a deep truth. Whatever we set our mind on, that whatever it is that drives us day after day, if one's compulsion is alcohol, then one will see the world as a map of barrooms and a schedule of parties. If one's compulsion is acquiring, one goes through life seeing the world as a list of things not yet acquired. If one's compulsion is promiscuity, then one will go through the world seeing it in terms of bodies and possible hookups. Whatever it is you want, whatever it is that your mind is set on constantly, is what you will find in the end. Indeed, it is what you will become in the end. If you want God, then you will find him everywhere. And if you want heaven, then you will see the way to heaven all around you. But there is one more layer to consider. Just as there is no worldliness in heaven, no promiscuous, no acquisitional, no alcoholics, no compulsive or grotesques of people. It is also true that the ways of heaven are apt to be mocked in this world, even labeled as hate speech. Those of us sitting here, we're hearing this on the World Wide Web, are on the earthly stage of our spiritual journey. And we recall that the greater life means greater life and continued conversion. But we here are on our earthly journey, our worldly journey. And the earth, the world, is adamantly opposed to heaven and hates God. We read in St. John chapter 15, verse 18. The world has its own ways. And it doesn't take long to realize that you're very much in happy and amiable company if you want to go in the world's ways. Just walk across the street or walk next door. But these ways are diametrically opposed to God's ways. Living worldly life is indeed a daily repudiation of God. For God is holy. And to enter into his friendship, one must wash the world and its ways off of oneself, must drive the world out of one's life. St. Peter, employing allegory, describes the great flood of Noah's time as being a story about this washing off of the world. That is, he views the flood as being an allegory of baptism. Notably, the flood was, quote, as we read this morning, to destroy all flesh. Reflecting on these lines, which of course Peter would have called scripture, he writes, eight persons were saved through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a clear conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, for the early church, baptism was much more than a sprinkling of a little water on a baby's head on a Sunday morning. It was a ritual death. You were completely stripped of your former life, and you entered those waters naked. You were then held under a very long time, and then at the last saved from drowning. Stepping out of these cleansing waters, and with not one scintilla of your former life attached to you, you were then clothed in white and anointed with perfumed oil, and ushered in to the congregation who applauded and congratulated you and embraced you in your holiness, now fit to be part of the body of Christ. Is it odd to think of the great flood as a figure of baptism? It would not have seemed so to those who witnessed the baptismal movement of St. John the Baptist. For the Gospels report that all the people of Judea and beyond sought out this immersion in water. It was a social tsunami that swept over the whole life world of Palestine. People who sought to destroy the life and the flesh they had been leading. Oh, if there was only a way to do that. And if the social norms of Judea may be indicated as a state of the health of that time, with its official entertainments in the royal household involving incest, daily drunkenness, and debauchery, we may well believe that Judea was exactly the place for a flood. Moreover, Peter describes another related event as being the ultimate baptism during this burning point moment in history, the crucifixion and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he writes, "For Christ also died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but then made alive in the spirit, in which he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly did not obey, when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, during the building of the ark." And we remember Jesus' question posed to John and James in high irony, "Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized. You see, Jesus' baptism was not the culmination of St. John's movement of baptism. His crucifixion was. We might easily understand that a newly baptized, newly clothed, and newly anointed member of the body of Christ might pray that she or he could step from that shining moment directly into heaven. But that is not the progression nor precedent that we find. Rather, the next step is spiritual warfare. In both Gospels of St. Mark and St. John, Jesus' baptism is followed immediately. And that urgent word appears in our Gospel lesson this morning, immediately, by an encounter with Satan. And now we see a deeper significance of the oils that follow baptism. They are like unto the anointing of a first century wrestler, applied before the fearful contest. Indeed, the word ascetic, denoting the life of the monk or the nun, originally meant to prepare for an athletic contest. Asceticism is a ritual application of oil, because you will now wrestle with the demons. And we recall that the language of our own baptismal vows are heavy laden with the language of warfare, with the evil one and all his dark forces. As we begin our first full week of Lent proper, we must remember that, yes, stripping off fleshly living is an important element of our fast, banishing worldly luxuries. We're ridding ourselves of the worldly habits that have been dragging us down. The goal is, yes, to regret, but then to move on from regret, to have a whole change in outlook, to rend our hearts, not our clothes, to borrow the language of Joel, or as we would say, to be broken-hearted over the world's brokenness, and not simply glum. For the Lenten practices that God would have us follow are to look upon the world as God does, with a pure heart. Quote, "Is not this the fast that I choose, saith the Lord, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own brother? Do all of this," Isaiah writes, "and you will indeed step directly into heaven, standing side by side with God. Quote, "Then shall your light break forth like the dawn. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, 'Here I am.'" In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.